Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the June 18 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Harry Cooney will be here to take a look at the agricultural energies. Along the way, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and hear an update of regional conditions from the state statisticians and the five top corn-growing states in the nation. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures for the soft red winter wheat were up 7 cents at the end of the day. A settlement price for the July at 687.5, September at 694.75, up 7. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.19.25, up 5.5 cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, 4.75 cents the gain today, $6.73.25. For the settlement price for the July corn. September futures, $5.89, up 10 and a quarter. And December, a late session rally, up 12 cents at 550 and a half on the settlement price. March at 561 and a quarter, up 12. And May futures at 568 and a half, up 11 and three quarters. July soybeans, $15.10 and three quarters of a cent, a penny and three quarters lower. August up a quarter at 1435 and a half. And September beans at 1337 and a quarter, a settlement price up 3.5 cents. November futures, 1289 and three quarters, up 4.25 for the day. January contract in the bean pit, $12.95 and a quarter, up 4. Bean meal futures, July contract, 451.80, up 270. Bean oil, 3 cents lower at 48.81. The livestock finished the nearby contract for the cattle in the August at 119.25, down 22.5, and the October live cattle at 122.52.5, 15 cents lower. September feeders at 146.22.5 were 77.5 lower. The August, by the way, at 143.80 were down 72.5 as well. July lean hogs, $98.70, up 75, and the August, $97.30, up 65. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract, $98.47 a barrel, up 70 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.88 and it finished 2.4 of a cent higher. That's the wholesale price. Ethanol at $2.50 and 3 cents, just about 2 tenths of a cent lower. And the difference between the two, or the spread, now at 37.7 of a cent. That's 2.6 wider than it was yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.91 and 3 cents, up 3.8 cents, and diesel fuel at this hour, a penny higher at $2.96 and 1/10 of a cent. Gold futures trading $1,366.70, finished down $16.30, and the U.S. dollar at 80.61 is down 0.17 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service in Urbana-Champaign for this afternoon. We are seeing sunny skies at this time, and they will continue through the afternoon, although there is a 40% chance of a shower or two. High of 86 degrees, mostly clear this evening, and 56 sunny tomorrow, and 79 and mostly clear on Wednesday evening, and 61 degrees. Mostly sunny by the time we get to Thursday, 82 degrees, a low of 65 on Thursday night, partly cloudy. Sunny skies on Friday and 88 degrees, and Saturday should show us a mostly sunny day with a high near 90 degrees. Partly cloudy on Saturday evening and 72. Sunny skies on Sunday with a high of 90, and Sunday night partly cloudy and 71. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now what's been happening in the futures markets. On the phone line with us from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, is John Hester. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, were you busy there today, or was it pretty calm as farmers are looking to the fields and maybe trying to deal with some weeds and other things that they have out and about?
Well, the phone rang quite a bit this afternoon, so I guess I was busy. I'm here by myself today, so you know, when you're by yourself, it always rings more, it seems like. So, that's not an all bad thing.
You should tell Wayne to go away more often in that case.
Yeah. No comment.
We'll stay with that. Okay, so probably was a little busy just because we had a 10 cent gain, 10 to 12 cents actually, in the corn futures for the afternoon.
Yeah, I think the volume was moderate in the corn and beans both, and the main reason that the July corn was not near as much as the rest of it was unwinding of the July D's corn spreads, taking profit on them, and that carries over to the July-November soybeans. That July beans were down a couple cents, and Novi's were up four, and they were taking profit on the spreads they'd put on the last 3 or 4 days.
So when you look at the new crop for the corn, what was the late session rally all about? Why did we finish December corn up 12 cents?
You know, I think part of it is it broke above its 20 and 50-day moving average, and this should set up these corn. If it can close up here one more day, it should set it up maybe to 575 to 580, and you know, they're just concerned about the acreage of corn that's not planted, and they're still concerned about the yield on the late planted corn.
I know you probably deal with some of the prevent planted, and it might be far less likely in your part of the world, but are you hearing much out of Iowa, Minnesota, as it deals with prevent plant for corn acres in particular?
I read or heard that they're expecting somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million acres of prevented planting.
And does that seem like a viable number to you?
I think so, because, you know, some of the rest of the corn acreage that's not planted will be planted to beans. So, you know, between the prevented planting and what goes to beans, I suspect that'll make up the difference in the corn acreage.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. Any word on livestock before I let you go?
Oh, I think that cattle will probably be under a little bit of pressure for a while, and hopefully hogs have bottomed for a while.
All right. Thank you so much.
See you, Todd.
That is John Hester. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like at our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Or you can dial this number anytime at about 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time USA daily. We update it with a bit of analysis and some of the numbers. The phone number to call, and it's just voicemail, is 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, have you registered yet for next Monday's June 24th event that's sponsored by the Illinois Tax School? It's the Family Farm Legacy event, how to pass the family farm down all day long at the Marriott, I believe, in Bloomington Normal. You're invited to come and join the folks at the Illinois Tax School. It's not expensive. Come and visit us, and you can just walk in if you'd like, or you can go find out all the details at the Illinois Tax School website. Cost should be either $40, it may have gone up to $50 at this point. Either way, our thanks go to Farm Credit for subsidizing that event, and I hope to see you there next week. That's the Illinois Tax School's Family Farm Legacy event. It's in Bloomington Normal all day on the 24th day of June.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed that 92% of the corn crop across the nation has emerged. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 97%. The condition of the crop, 64% good to excellent, up 1% from last week and also up 1% from last year. 85% of the soybean crop has been planted. The rolling five-year average is 91%. Usually 88% of that crop has emerged. This year, just 66%. No report on the condition of the crop last week, but this week, 64% said to be in good to excellent condition compared to last year, which was 56% good to excellent condition. 89% of the wheat crop around the nation has headed. That's 2 points behind the five-year average. 11% of the crop has been harvested. On the five-year average, that's normally 25%, and just 31% of the crop is in good to excellent condition. Last year, by the way, 44% of the winter wheat crop was in good to excellent condition at this time. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 16, 2013. Sporadic rainfall throughout the week hampered farmers' efforts to get all their remaining cropland planted, but they were able to make some progress. Statewide, there were just 2.8 days suitable for field work during the week, although the ability to do field work ranged widely, with producers in southeast and east central Iowa having more than 4 days suitable, and farmers in the northwest and north central Iowa having less than 2 days suitable for field work. Even though soil moisture conditions were not ideal in many areas, farmers pushed ahead with planting and were able to get an additional 2% of the corn crop and 17% of the intended soybean acres in the ground. Corn planting now stands at 94% complete, and 77% of the soybean crop has been planted. Normally, by June 16th, all of the corn and nearly all the soybeans would be planted. 89% of the corn acres and 56% of the soybean acres have emerged, well behind their respective five-year averages of 99 and 91%. The first soybean condition rating of the year showed half of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition, mirroring the corn condition rated in those categories. Temperatures for the week averaged 1.7 degrees above normal, and the average statewide precipitation was just under 1.4 inches, about 2/10 above normal, although weekly rain totals ranged from under 1/10 of an inch at Loudoun and Cedar County to 6 inches in Coon Rapids and Carroll County. Even with the additional rainfall in many areas, the statewide surplus soil moisture ratings declined slightly during the week, but ratings for both topsoil and subsoil moisture remained nearly all in the adequate to surplus range. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois finally had a week of nearly normal weather last week. Temperatures were just 1 degree above normal, and rainfall was only 1/100 of an inch above normal for the week. Producers made very good progress on soybean planting. The state is now 90% planted, up from 62% last week. 1 year ago, Illinois soybeans were 99% planted, and the five-year average is 87%. 67% of the crop has emerged now, compared to 97% 1 year ago and 76% normally. The condition of the crop is now rated as 9% in very poor to poor condition, 27% in fair condition, and 64% in good to excellent condition. Corn planting inched upward to 99% complete, and the average height of plants around the state is 13 inches. That compares to 40 inches 1 year ago and 24 inches normally at this time. The condition of the crop is rated 11% in very poor to poor condition, 32% fair, and 57% in good to excellent condition. The wheat crop is now 75% turning yellow compared to 100% last year at this time and 79% normally. 5% of wheat acres are in very poor to poor condition, 26% are in fair condition, and 69% are in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with a crop progress report for the week ending June 16, 2013. Rainfall was limited until the weekend, allowing producers an opportunity to harvest hay crops. However, precipitation in most areas was light, with less than a half inch recorded. As a result, some pivots have been started in central and western counties. Heavier amounts of rain did fall in portions of extreme east central and northeastern counties, with temperatures averaged near normal across the east and north, but were 4 to 6 degrees above normal across western drought counties. Winter wheat was beginning to turn color in southern counties, with harvest expected to start around July 4th. Both corn and soybean conditions rated mostly good to fair, with corn 100% emerged and soybeans at 90%. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NASA Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 16, 2013. Corn and soybean planting advanced slowly for Minnesota farmers during the week. Corn planting moved ahead 4 percentage points to reach 94% complete. Corn emergence advanced 8 percentage points during the week to reach 86%, and that compares to the 5-year average of 99%. The statewide average corn height was 6 inches tall. That compares to 22 inches last year and the average of 13 inches. Corn condition improved to 58% good or excellent, and that compares to the previous week's 55%. Soybean planting was 84% complete. That's behind last year's 100% and the average of 99%. Soybean emergence advanced 26 percentage points to reach 64% emerged, and that compares to last year's 99% and the average of 92% complete. Planting with small grains was nearly finished. Spring wheat emergence advanced 15 percentage points to reach 99% emerged. Pasture condition improved to 71% good to excellent, and that compares with 63% the previous week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 16th. Strong storms moved across parts of the state during the week, leaving standing water in many crop fields and causing some wind damage. Some replanting will be necessary in drown-out spots after the soils dry out. In southern counties, a minimal amount of intended corn acres have been switched to soybeans or grain sorghum due to planting delays. Many operations continued cutting hay, spraying herbicides, side dressing corn, and mowing roadsides and ditches as weather permitted. 97% of the corn acreage has emerged compared with 100% last year and 94% for the 5-year average. Corn condition is rated 73% good to excellent compared with only 37% last year at this time. 93% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted compared with 100% last year and 88% for the 5-year average. By area, 99% of the soybean acreage has been planted in the north, 96% in the central region, and just 76% in the south. Virtually all the winter wheat acreage is headed and is racing toward maturity. Harvest will probably get underway in some southern counties this week as long as the weather holds out. Winter wheat condition is rated 74% good to excellent compared with 56% last year at this time. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of the Crop Progress Report. You can always find us online and listen to them again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, this is the closing market report for Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line from GrowMark in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, is Harry Cooney. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
We have started the summer driving season. What does it mean for the agricultural energies?
Well, the agricultural energy markets have been hanging in here. The crude oil market, in fact, made some new highs, broke out of a consolidation pattern on the price charts, according to the technicians that we listened to. The resistance on the upside was in the $97, $98 range. So we're right going through that here in the past week, surged up through the resistance, and so now it looks like we may be on a market a path up to around $100 in the crude oil. At the same time, the products are being drug higher, the gasoline and diesel fuel. I don't think wanted to lead the charge to the upside, but they're getting drug behind the crude oil to the upside. And so it appears that the early summer lows are in place for now, and we're going to try some higher numbers here over the next several weeks.
Is it a seasonal pattern, or is it a seasonal pattern coupled with a stronger economy?
I think it's the latter. I think it's the coupled with a stronger economy. If you look at the stock market, for example, if you look at the Dow, we peaked out there just under 15,600 in late May, dropped back here in early June. I think at one time we were even dipping under 15,000 there for a while, and now we're back heading towards the highs. In fact, today we're having a pretty strong market here, up 130 points or so, and so it looks like we're heading back to those old highs in the Dow, and if so, then that adds some support to the energy complex, just as you said, on thoughts that the economy might be remaining strong or trying to strengthen a little bit more, and that's coming at the same time that there's a lot of gasoline demand, a lot of vacations going on out there, Mommy and Daddy and Billy and Bobby going to wherever for vacation, and so a lot of that travel activity, all of this is kind of coming together at the same time. Sprinkle in a few refinery glitches that we've had around the Midwest, and so it can kind of make for a kind of an exciting early summer energy market trade here.
You suggested the gasoline diesel fuel really didn't want to lead it up, followed on the heels of crude oil. Does that tell you anything about the ethanol market at all?
No, really, I don't think it does. Of course, the ethanol has been following the grain markets, and of course, with the planting delays that we had, the grain markets tried to make a couple of surges to the upside, and of course, the ethanol kind of followed that along. It sure appears that the grain markets are going to have a hard time just plummeting too far, given the fact of how late we got the crop in the ground. In fact, I see some of those corn contracts went up today, finally, and new crop up over 10 cents. So the ethanol tends to follow that a little closer. And so even though I'm over on the energy side, we'll kind of watch some of those outside markets also to kind of see what they're doing. But over in the back over on the energy front, we have adequate stocks of gasoline. When you look around the U.S., very adequate stocks for at this time of year of gasoline. Gasoline demand is still running under normal levels. Let's say if you look at a 3 or a 5 year average for demand, gasoline demand is still somewhat weak. Diesel demand, though, has been coming up here recently.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's out of Bloomington Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Mark Report. Back in just a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Cherry Tart Day. Sweet cherries date back to prehistoric times in Asia. By the way, that story about George Washington and the cherry tree is more fiction than fact. Parson Weems attributed the anecdote to an aged lady who was a distant relative and, when a girl, spent much of her time who referred to George as cousin. Really, we cannot tell a lie. It's also International Picnic Day. In Europe during the 14th century, the earliest picnics were medieval hunting feasts in England, featuring hams and other baked meats as well as pastries. Picnicking really came into its own during the Victorian age. Picnics, as Americans know them, date back to the middle of the 19th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Edmund Ruffin died. He was a pioneer in the study of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin investigated the possibility of using lime to raise pH in peat soils to improve agricultural productivity. In 1892, macadamia nuts were first planted in Hawaii. In 1981, the first genetically engineered vaccine was announced by USDA. The vaccine, using gene splicing, was designed to prevent hoof and mouth disease. And in 1993, African honeybees killed a small dog in Tucson, Arizona, and were dubbed by the media as killer bees. Their original source was from crossbreeding with tropical African bees imported into Brazil for experimental work. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to look at the weather forecast. Hi, Don. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest to start with.
Well, we're slowly but surely seeing a development of a pattern that looks a little bit more like summer wanting to kick into full gear, especially with temperatures that are going to be warmer, if not a little bit above normal, here over the next week to 10 days. Any real super hot weather coming to Corn Belt Midwest? No, don't see that. But certainly I see a more consistently warm weather pattern, and we're still going to see some shower and thunderstorm activity, although that activity is not going to be as heavy.
Oh, I almost thought you were not going to mention rain for a moment, but rain is good one way or the other. And we still need it from time to time. How much rainfall over the next week or so?
Well, you know, right now I would say that amounts aren't going to be terribly heavy, at least in the central and western areas of the Corn Belt. Amounts of rain are probably going to be in the vicinity of anywhere from 3/4 to upwards to 2 inches. The areas that are going to be the wettest will be the areas that have been recently, the northern areas. We still see it being pretty wet in the Dakotas, pretty wet in Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska look to be areas that are going to be the most wet, but not as significantly wet as the last several weeks. And with those warmer temperatures, that's going to help crop progress along as well.
The state statistician yesterday from Colorado made note in his weekly crop progress update that the condition of the wheat crop there was really, really poor, and that it was likely much of it would be abandoned. I take it that's probably mostly due to the dry weather. Now, that could have been much earlier in the season, but maybe you can tell me a bit more about Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, parts of Texas, please.
Well, let's take Colorado first. Now, certainly southeast Colorado, east central and southeast Colorado, where a lot of big wheat acres are, has been just devastated by some of the worst drought conditions in the lower 48. Now, there are some areas of southeast Colorado yesterday that got 2 inches of rain with some heavy thunderstorm activity, probably too late to really help. Northeast Colorado's wheat areas have picked up some rains and are doing better, but overall, Colorado's wheat crop and many areas of west central and southwest Kansas in a similar situation. Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle as well. Those winter wheat areas, while there has been some rain, I think that even though there's been some help recently, it's still going to be a very poor crop.
And let's move across the planet and check in on China, the growing regions there, please.
Pretty active over there. Eastern Asia is going to be looking at several storm systems, especially in the short term. Most of China's key growing areas looking at excellent chances of rain here over the course of the next week.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a great afternoon. Be safe. I'm Todd Gleason.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.